Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Golda, and today Mezakhas Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ches, the beginning of the 8th Perek, Yesh Nochlin. This daf is dedicated to Zecher Nishmas Avi Umori Moshe Ben Bero. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the 8th Perek begins with four categories of relatives regarding inheritance. Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. There are people who both inherit from and bequeath to certain relatives. Yesh Nochlin Vomanchilin. There are those who inherit but do not bequeath. There are those who bequeath but do not inherit. And there are those who neither inherit nor bequeath. The Mishnah gives examples of each category. Number one, a father and his sons, a son and their father, and brothers of one father all inherit from each other and bequeath to each other. Number two, a man inherits his mother but does not bequeath to her. The same applies to a man and his wife and sons of sisters to inherit the maternal uncle. Number three, a woman bequeaths to her sons but does not inherit them. The same applies to a woman and her husband and a mother's brothers. And number four, brothers from one common mother neither inherit nor bequeath to each other. Point number two, the Gemara objects to the Mishnah's first listing the case of a father inheriting a son when it should have begun with a son inheriting his father. Firstly, Ascheliba Pernusa Lobmas Chalinon. We do not begin with tragedy. In this case, is a man who died without children and in his father's lifetime. Secondly, the Torah's passage about inheritance begins with a son inheriting his father because it says, Ish Kiyamus Uben Emlo, when a man dies and has no son. This implies that if there is a son, he inherits his father. For these two reasons, the Mishnah should have begun with this case. The Gemara explains why the Tana began with a father inheriting a son. Since he derived it from a drasha and not an explicit pasuk, as we'll see, it's especially dear to him, so he listed it first. And point number three, a braisa derives that a father inherits his children from the pasuk which says, she'ero, his relative. This refers to the father, and teaches that the father precedes the brothers of the deceased in inheriting him. Although this phrase is written last, the Gemara will explain that the sequence is not written in precise order of precedence. Although one might think that the father should even inherit before the son of the deceased, the pasuk says, Hakarov, the closest, teaching Hakarov Karov Kodem, the closer relative precedes the more distant one. Therefore, one's children, who are his closest relatives, precede his father in inheriting him. The Gemara asks why we assume one's children are closer relatives than his brothers, and it answers, Sheken kam tachas aviv yada osteochuza, because he stands in his father's place for Yud, to marry his father's Ami Ivriya, and for the redeeming ancestral land that the father was Makdish before Yovel, so will not transfer to Kohanim at Yovel. Although a brother stands in his deceased brother's place for Yibum, the Gemara responds, Kum yesh Yibum el b'makom she'ein ben? Is there any Yibum except where there's no son? Ha b'makom she'yesh ben, ein Yibum. When there's a son, there is no Yibum. So once again, the three points are, number one, the 8th Perek begins with four categories of relatives regarding inheritance. Yesh Nochlin Umanchilin. There are people who both inherit from and bequeath to certain relatives. Yesh Nochlin Vomanchilin. There are those who inherit but do not bequeath. There are those who bequeath but do not inherit. And there are those who neither inherit nor bequeath. The Mishnah gives examples of each category. Number one, a father and his sons, a son and their father, and brothers of one father all inherit from each other and bequeath to each other. Number two, a man inherits his mother, but does not bequeath to her. The same applies to a man and his wife and sons of sisters to inherit the maternal uncle. Number three, a woman bequeaths to her sons, but does not inherit them. The same applies to a woman and her husband and a mother's brothers. And number four, brothers from one common mother neither inherit nor bequeath to each other. Point number two, the Gemara objects to the Mishnah's first listing the case of a father inheriting a son when it should have begun with a son inheriting his father. Firstly, Ascheliba Pernusa Lobmas Chalinon. We do not begin with tragedy. In this case, is a man who died without children and in his father's lifetime. Secondly, the Torah's passage about inheritance begins with a son inheriting his father because it says, Ish Kiyamus Uben Emlo, when a man dies and has no son. This implies that if there is a son, he inherits his father. For these two reasons, the Mishnah should have begun with this case. The Gemara explains why the Tana began with a father inheriting a son. Since he derived it from a drasha and not an explicit pasuk, as we'll see, it's especially dear to him, so he listed it first. And point number three, a braisa derives that a father inherits his children from the pasuk which says, she'ero, his relative, Ze Ha'av. This refers to the father. Malamed Sha'av Kodem Achin, and teaches that the father precedes the brothers of the deceased in inheriting him. Although this phrase is written last, the Gemara will explain that the sequence is not written in precise order of precedence. Although one might think that the father should even inherit before the son of the deceased, the Pasuk says Hakarov, the closest, teaching Hakarov Karov Kodem, the closer relative precedes the more distant one. Therefore, one's children, who are his closest relatives, precede his father in inheriting him. The Gemara asks why we assume one's children are closer relatives than his brothers, and it answers, Sheken kam tachas aviv yada osteachuza, because he stands in his father's place for Yud, to marry his father's Ami Ivriya, and for the redeeming ancestral land that the father was Makdish before Yovel, so will not transfer to Kohanim at Yovel. Although a brother stands in his deceased brother's place for Yibum, the Gemara responds, Kum yesh Yibum el b'makmish ein ben? Is there any Yibum except where there's no son? Ha b'makmish yesh ben ein Yibum. When there's a son, there is no Yibum. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Kuf Ches, and this Siman was suggested to us by Mordechai Slovin from Ramat Beit Shemesh and by Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York. They both suggested that Kuf Ches is a pickpocket from Kach, taking, a pickpocket. So here goes. The mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, saying that his son was closer to him than his brother, whatever be. Once again, it's a motion. The mummy pickpocket. Pickpocket? That must be on daf. Kuf ches. Kach. Take. The mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil, anything which reminds us. The eighth parak begins with four categories of relatives regarding inheritance. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are people who both inherit from and bequeath to certain relatives. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are those who inherit but do not bequeath, and there are those who bequeath but do not inherit, and there are those who neither inherit nor bequeath. The Mishnah gives examples of each category. For example, a woman bequeaths to her sons but does not inherit them. The same applies to a woman and her husband and a mother's brothers. So the mummy pickpocket began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, which reminds the Gemara addresses why the Mishnah began with a father inheriting his sons and not the reverse. So the mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, saying that his son was closer to him than his brother, whatever it be, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why we assume one's children are closer relatives than a man's brother? It answers because he stands in his father's place for Yud, to marry his father's Ama Ivriya, and for redeeming ancestral land that the father was Makdish before Yovel, so will not transfer to Kohanim at Yovel. Although a brother stands in his deceased brother's place for Yibum, the Gemara responds, is there any Yibum except where there's no son? When there's a son, there is no Yibum. So once again, the mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochil anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, saying that his son was closer to him than his brother, whatever be. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Kuf Dalet, so the Siman Daf Kuf Dalet is code. So here goes. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code. Code? That must be on Daf Kuf Dalet. The dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, which reminds us, a buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price. So, the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second, and reached a 9-kav limit, which reminds us if the 9-kavin rule applies even for purchases of many korin. So the dishonest land seller programmed his sales computer code to intentionally calculate extra land so he could force the buyers to pay for the excess, but the plan failed when he lost money to the first customer, who was able to buy it at the current lower market rate, sold multiple base core to the second and reached the 9-kav limit, and retained the property right next to the third, so he had to take the extra back, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that the buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field. Kufhei, so the Siman Daf Kufhei is a Russian hacker. So here goes. The hackers, that must be one daf. Kuf hey, hacker. The hackers who were arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word, and some saying, you split it, which reminds us, Rav holds that Tanaim disagree in a case where the seller said, mida bechevo hen chaser hen yasser, which are contradictory statements, if tafas lashon achron or yachaloku. So the hackers were arguing over proper procedure when a line of code contradicts itself, some saying to go with the last word and some saying, you split it, were corrected by their boss who insisted you either follow the lesser of the two versions or you go after the last word even where it can't be an explanation of the first. Which reminds us, Ravuna quoted Rav saying that if a seller offered a price of an istra 100 maz, the first term equaling 96 prutos, and contradicted by the second phrase of 100, the buyer pays 100 prutos. If he said the opposite, then he only pays an istra 96 prutos. Thus, Rav rules like Ben Nanas that we follow the latter expression. Kufvav, so the similar Kufvav is a tightrope walker walking on a fine line, a cove, a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be on Duff Kufvav. Tightrope walk on a thin line, kav. The tightrope walk on a rope marking the border of a field, so besanov b'mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if someone sold a base core and identified it b'samanov b'mitzarov by its landmarks and boundaries, but it was discovered that the field did not contain a base core, pachushtos higio, then if the discrepancy was less than six, it becomes the buyer's as is without compensation. Ajtos yanake, but if the discrepancy is greater, down to a six, he must deduct from the purchase price according to the discrepancy. So the tightrope walk on a rope marking the border of a field sold besanov mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core. Look down below at some brothers who just divided an inheritance by lots, which reminds us, in a brice, Rabbi Yossi said, Achin Shochalku, brothers who divided an inheritance and agreed to use lots to determine who receives which portion. Kaven Shal Gorla Echemehen, once a lot is drawn for one of them, identifying his portion, Kanukulam, they all acquired their share of the inheritance. The one whose lot was drawn acquires his portion, and the others acquired the remaining estate between them. Rabbi Lazar explains, Ketechilas Eretz Yisrael, it's like the initial division of Eretz Yisrael. Just as that division was affected through lots, Eretz can also divide an inheritance through lots. So the tightrope walker on a rope marking the border of a field sold besanov mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core. Look down below at some brothers who just divided an inheritance by lots and saw trouble in the distance as a long-lost brother approached from overseas coming to get his portion, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses two brothers who divided an inheritance, Ubal and Ach Medina Sayam, and another brother came from overseas and claimed a share. Rav says, Batal Machokas, the first division is void, and the estate must be redivided. Shmuel says, Mekamsin, they each take off a third of their share and give it to the third brother, but the original division remains in effect. Daf Kuv Zayin, so the Siman Daf Kuv Zayin is Kuskus. So here goes. When the late Captain Kuskus's creditors, Kuskus, that must be on Daf Kuv Zayin, Kuskus. When the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossessed the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, which reminds the Gemara brings the Malchokas, if brothers who divide an estate are like heirs, Yorshin, or Lukuchos, purchasers, enough Kamina being that if the father's creditor comes to take one of their properties, if they're like Yorshin, the other properties are redivided. If they're like buyers, then the brother whose land was taken is not compensated. So, when the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossessed the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, but the judges could not agree on the value of the Kuskus cart, which reminds us, a Bryce estate said if three judges appraised the orphan's land, and one said it was worth a mana, 100 zuz, and two said it was worth 200, or if one said it was worth 200 and two said 100, bata yachid b'mi'uto, the single judge is nullified in its minority status, and we follow the majority appraisal. If one appraised it at a mana, which is 100 zuz, and one said 20 slime, which is 80 zuz, and one said 30, which is 120 zuz, there are three opinions. So when the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossessed the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, but the judges could not agree on the value of the Kuskus cart, the son lost interest in the Kuskus industry and bought half a field to take up farming, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one says, Chatsi Sada Ani Mochulach, I'm selling you half of my field, Mishamni Benehem, the quality is between them, Benoto Chatsi Sadeu, and the buyer takes half his field. If he says, I'm selling you its southern half, the ruling is the same, but here the buyer takes the field's southern half. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Lokeach Notel Kachushubo, the buyer takes the inferior half of the field, and the seller keeps the superior half. The field is divided by its value, the inferior land being of greater size, and the seller can retain the superior, smaller land. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff to discuss what to do when assessing a property's value and the judges disagree in its appraisal? That's on duff. Kuv Zayin. Good number two, which duff to know that a base course sold by its landmarks and boundaries allows for discrepancies up to a sixth? That's on duff. Kavav. Good number three. Which stuff do you want about further limitations for measuring rocks with the land? For example, four kabin. That's on Dav. Kuf Gimel. Good number four. Which stuff do we have the Mishnah which lists the four categories of relatives regarding inheritance? That's on Dav. Kuf Ches. Good number five. Which stuff do you discuss what is done in a case where a third brother appears after the division of the inheritance? That's on Dav. Kufbav. Good number six. Which stuff do you want a buyer may return excess land if it borders the seller's own field? That's on Dav. Kufdalad. Good number five. Which of them the Rav holds that the Tanaim disagree if Tvos Lashon Achron or Yachaloku by a case of Mida Beheva, Hen Choser, Hen Yasser? That's on Dav. Kuf Hey. Good number eight. Which of them why the Mishnah began with a father inheriting his sons and not the reverse? That's on Dav. Kuf Ches. Good number nine. Which stuff do we discuss if brothers who divide an estate are like Yorshin or Lakuchos? That's on Dav. Kuvzain. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you want why the sons precede the father inheritance instead of the brothers? That's on Dav. Kuvches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.